'Twas Alexander Pope who once said, "To err is human, to forgive is divine." Lewis Meade says in his book on the art of forgiveness that God invented forgiveness as a remedy to a past that even he could not change nor forget. Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven. For those who are forgiven much, love much." Come today, let's take a closer look at this. At this story, really, which is one of the great stories in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. It's somewhere between page 62 and 66 of your pew Bible. Luke chapter 7, you might just want to follow with me. We're going to try to unpack the story here a little bit today. Jesus is invited to Simon the Pharisee's house for dinner. Why Simon invites Jesus to be his guest, nobody knows for sure. Maybe he was simply hungry to know Jesus. There was something in his heart that was reaching out to him. Maybe the whole dinner was a trick. Maybe he was just curious, like inquiring minds want to know. For whatever the reason, Jesus is invited, and Jesus goes. Now, dinner parties of the rich and famous in our day take place in secluded mansions or in heavily guarded hotel ballrooms. But that is not the case in Jesus' day. Dinner parties take place in courtyards, in very public kind of arenas. When I was in Greece last fall, I was amazed at how people and cats and dogs and cars all seem to coexist with one another, using the same streets all the time. In fact, you could dine at a fine restaurant and clean the headlights of motorists all at the same time and never have to move from your chair. I have a new understanding of what close quarters is all about. Well, it's something like that is happening here in Palestine. And as Simon the Pharisee and Jesus the carpenter meet together over dinner, there are pedestrians coming by, and a particular woman stops. We're told that she's a woman of the streets who lives a sinful life in the town. And when she saw Jesus, she stood behind him weeping, wetting his feet with her tears. And then she does something that no respectable woman would ever do in Palestine. She lets her hair down and wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. And then she breaks a vial of expensive perfume that would have been kept for her burial. And she anoints his feet with oil. It's a touching, sensuous kind of scene that causes Simon the Pharisee to rise up in criticism. Who is this woman who comes in here and breaks into my party like this? And Jesus takes the occasion to teach us all a powerful lesson about forgiveness. And that's the story I want you to hear today. Forgiveness. What is it? Well, as far as Jesus was concerned, forgiveness is a debt canceled. Look how he explains it to Simon. Verse 41, a certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. So he owed about 500 days' wages. And the other owed 50. And when neither could pay, he canceled the debts of both of them. Now, which of them would love him more? Don't you wish all sermons were that short and that explicit and to the point? Forgiveness is the cancellation of a debt. Forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap. Forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap. When Dr. Jean Nicol, the president of William and Mary College, had the cross taken out of Wren Chapel on that campus, he failed to anticipate the kind of uproar among the alumni and others. He now admits that he made a hasty decision, and so he's ordered the cross be put back in, at least on Sundays, so Christians can have it for their worship services. I understand. The cross has always been offensive, hasn't it? It was offensive to people in the first century. That's why Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians. It's too blunt. It's too brutal for our refined minds. All that stuff about a pierced side and nail-pierced hands and a thorn-torn brow, well, it's all too gross for people who come together and worship in a beautiful sanctuary like this. And I understand that any explanation of the atonement is extremely limited and can't tell the whole story, but I still like to sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stains, but he washed me white as snow. We ought never, ever to forget that the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ paid the debt for our sins. Forgiveness is a debt canceled. Forgiveness is a life restored. What transformed this woman of the night into a woman of the light is an absolute miraculous story of love. That's what it's all about. Love changes her heart and gives her her life back. Don't miss it. It's critically important. Tony DeMello tells in one of his books, everybody kept telling me to change. And I agreed that I needed to change, but I couldn't. No matter how hard I tried, I felt powerless and trapped and confused. Then one day, a friend said to me, Tony, I love you just the way you are. And he said, I relax. And you know what else? I found the power to change. And you know what else? That day I discovered the real nature of God. He loves us just the way we are, so that we can become what He has created us to be. Forgiveness is a debt canceled, yes, but it's more than that. Forgiveness is a life that's been restored. And here is a person of the streets whose self-esteem is gone and value, self-worth, is non-existent. And Jesus nurtures her. Back to life. Forgiveness. What a beautiful, beautiful reality. Forgiveness. It was meant for you and for me. Which brings me to the second question I want to ask today. Forgiveness. Who needs it? Who needs it? Well, the explicit thing in this story, obviously, is that the woman needs it. We're told again and again throughout the story, she's a woman of the city who's a sinner. And it's repeated over and over through this story. Now, there's something about the Bible that doesn't beat around the bush. It doesn't sugarcoat evil. It doesn't psychologize wrong. It doesn't minimize mistakes. There's a freedom in telling it like it is, not for judgment's sake, but for conscience' sake. And the Bible does. It really does. And so Paul says again and again in the letters, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And do you remember the last phrase that he always uses? You know that phrase? You got like deer in the headlights right now. Do you know that phrase? Of whom I am chief. You ever read that in the Bible? Christ, Paul now, the person who gave Christianity to the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You get it? You know, the people I've known who really knew God always understood the gap between who God is and who they were. They always understood that what they needed to be and what they had accomplished was not the same. The closer they came to God, the greater their sensibility of sin and a pain to feel it near. Who needs to be forgiven? Well, sinners need to be forgiven. Of course we do. Of course we do. But the point of the story, and if you don't get anything else at all, get this. That's what this story is all about. The self-righteous people need to be forgiven too. Do you get it? Simon needs to be forgiven too. God doesn't make a distinction between sin in high places and sin in low places. All of every rank and station of life stand in need of the grace which God alone supplies. The woman needs to be forgiven, and she knows it. Simon needs to be forgiven, and he doesn't know he needs it. Jesus is extremely kind to the broken. You can't read the Gospels without sensing it. His ability to reach out and touch people who are disenfranchised and hurt and broken in life. But Jesus is likewise confronting to those of us who are self-righteous. He doesn't miss an opportunity to say, you are needy too. He tells stories about it. If you go over to chapter 18, of the Gospel of Luke, you get another story about a Pharisee and a publican. Both of them went to the temple. Both of them went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee goes to the temple to pray, saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Not like this robber, not like this evildoer, not like this adulterer, not even like this tax collector who's sitting in the temple with me. And Jesus concludes, there is no forgiveness with attitudes like that. He went home from the temple no better than when he came. The self-righteous need forgiveness too. The arrogant need forgiveness too. The self-centered need forgiveness too. Brennan Manning says, "The greatest weakness of the American church is our refusal to accept our brokenness. We hide it. We evade it. We gloss over it. We grab for the cosmetic kit and put on our virtuous faces so we can meet one another at church. We have not found power over our weakness because we cannot admit that we have a weakness. We have no need, and therefore we experience no grace. Forgiveness, who needs it? Women of the street need it. But you and I need it too." That's what this story is all about. You and I need forgiveness too. So the natural question is, how? How can I receive it? If I need it, how do I get it? And it's rather simple, as Jesus tells it in this story. It's contained in two words: grace and faith. Grace and faith. Look at it. It's all here. Verse 48. "Then he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" Now that causes people problems, because not everybody can just go around forgiving sins. But nevertheless, Jesus says to this woman, "Your sins are forgiven." How are we forgiven? We receive it. The only way you can have grace is to accept it. And that's the problem. You see, if we could earn it, we would get grace a lot quicker in this sanctuary, because we're used to earning whatever we need. If we could work for it, we would have it. If we could accomplish it, it would be ours. We are reared and taught and conditioned into the thought of whatever you want, go and take it. Take it in a right way, but earn it and get it and have it and enjoy it. And that's beautiful in life, but it won't work in faith and grace. Because this is just the opposite. How do you get grace? You receive it. I wish all of you had an opportunity to serve Holy Communion, as I've done for years. People come to take the sacrament, and it's as if we really don't think until we get there, and I do the same thing. And suddenly you're there, and you think, I should say something. And you can see it clicking in people's minds, and then they say, "Thank you. Thank you." And I can't think of a more beautiful response to Holy Communion than "thank you." Isn't that what you say when you receive a gift? You say "thank you." You open it up. And you say to the person who gave it, "Thank you. I'm grateful. Oh, I know. The social graces of the prostitute are not so good in this story, you know. She's used to dealing with people in low places. She's not refined in all her social skills. So what would have been common water from the ground, she brings here and pours out from the bottom of her heart in tears. She doesn't kiss his cheek as would have been the custom and the thing that somebody ought to have done. She kisses again and again." Read the text. "She kisses again and again and again and again his feet." She turns loose of her hair and lets it fall and wipes his feet dry with her hair. And she takes precious perfume, not cheap olive oil, and anoints his feet. Now, commentators will take at least three pages to tell you this is not sensuous. They're wrong. Of course it's sensuous. It's the only way she knows how to express love. Don't judge her for that. She's using what she knows to share what she believes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Have you learned how to say thank you? Have you learned how to say thank you, Jesus? How do I get forgiveness? I receive it. It's a gift. A gift of grace. That's what it is. How do I get forgiveness? I receive it as an act of faith. The very last phrase, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Faith is that rare courage to act on that which you cannot yet prove to be true. Faith is leaving a fresh grave with enough hope to carry on. Faith is writing a song of thanksgiving when the rent's due. Faith is accepting forgiveness when it seems nothing more than a distant dream. Faith is proclaiming peace when you still feel turmoil in your heart. Faith is letting your hair down so that you're capable of receiving the mercy of God. The just live by faith, not by certitude. By faith. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Do you feel the need? Forgiveness. Have you experienced the freedom that it brings? Forgiveness. It was meant for you. Let us pray. Oh Lord, somebody sitting here today has been guilty long enough. We've beaten up on ourselves and live with low self-esteem and thought we weren't worth very much. Break through all of that stuff today, O Lord, and set us free. Forgive us. Give us our life back. We need it. No, Lord, there are others of us sitting here today doubting we need any of this stuff. And we may be the ones who need it the most. Break through our self-righteousness, our arrogance, our pride, our loneliness. Come to those who think they need it the least. And dwell therein with grace. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. come in.